you don't always peel when you get a chemical peel, and that's okay. That's not like an indication of whether it's worked or not. Welcome to this week's episode of Beauty Babble. And this is episode 3 of our series on chemical peels and common skin conditions. Today, we're talking about sensitive skin and rosacea. How are you doing, Suzanne?
Doing pretty good, thank you. What about you, Doreen?
I'm doing good, thanks. We are, I want to say, knee deep in chemical peels.
Yeah.
We're deep diving into chemical peels.
It is kind of where we are, definitely the season for it, I guess you could say. Most people, a lot of people aren't traveling, it's colder, people are indoors more. So yeah, and like we said before, we're getting a lot of questions about chemical peels. And sometimes I think it's because we haven't maybe done it for a few months. So then you got to rethink about things, and then things are changing all the time and you're learning new things. And we kind of looped this together because, you know, sensitive skin, rosacea, like level one could be, it's hard to determine sensitive in that first stage of rosacea sometimes. So without a proper diagnosis, how do you determine? That's why we thought we would loop this in together a little bit. Yeah.
Why don't we start off with that, where we talk about, okay, sensitive skin, rosacea, we're doing them in one episode, but what is the first step for determining which skin condition you are actually treating?
Right. So, well, I always feel that if there is a rosacea being diagnosed, that's by a professional, not us as estheticians or facial technicians. It is a doctor, someone in the medical industry side that's actually giving you a proper diagnosis of it, not because it was Googled or AI'd. I think we're diagnosing ourselves of what it can be. And I usually just tell my clients when I see them is that, well, it does look like rosacea, but I'm not a doctor. It's best you see a dermatologist. And because if you have a proper diagnosis, you know how to proceed forward properly and safely without aggravating it and pushing it into another stage or making it worse. And I think that's what people need to understand. Just because you have red cheek, maybe even a few broken capillaries, doesn't mean that's a diagnosis for rosacea. Because some have gone to dermatologists and they've come back and said, no, you just have sensitive skin, so take care of it.
Okay.
So
would you, if you suspect that somebody has rosacea, would you want them to go to a dermatologist or doctor and get a diagnosis before you do a chemical peel on them?
Not necessarily. I put that out there that I would, in order to proceed further, we can do something today. So that's when I would hover to the sensitive sides of the skin. Because that's going to be similar. If their skin is inflamed, you can see how bumpy or looks almost like an acne in those areas. And you know, you've probably seen rosacea before, or you have clients that have had it, it looks like it pretty much. Then I would still act on the side in the back of your head, it's probably rosacea. But I don't tell my clients that they have it. That's the difference, is I don't diagnose for the client. But I would still treat accordingly what I see in front of me, right? So I think with rosacea, if it's not inflamed or at that level of itchiness breaking out, they're not using their medications, right? Those are all signs that they had something triggered and it made that inflammation, it caused the inflammation, right? So I think if we start off with just, I mean, all skins like a little bit of a gentle chemical peel. I mean, there's lactic acids, there's so many types that we could still venture to. I don't know if I gave a direct answer or not on that.
You gave a politician's answer, I feel like. Unfortunately, it's the case with skin care, with skin treatments. There's never just one answer, and it can't just be straightforward. It depends on your client, their skin, what's happening, all of that stuff. But when it comes to chemical peels, my default is always start gentle with everyone. Start slow, and then you go. So even somebody with sensitive skin, you can still get started, but adjust depending on like the type of peel you would use, the percentage, the pH, taking all those into consideration. And I always, if there is an area that is, sensitive or like inflamed, you could always just cover that and avoid it. Just cover that with some like petroleum jelly and then proceed to the other areas, just because that gives a really good barrier and it blocks the
Yeah, there's actually some now I've drawn a blank what it was. I was researching something other than petroleum jelly because it's not the best for the skin. There's some other options out there, which maybe we can bring up next time. I'll look into that.
Yeah,
better, a little better for the skin than that. Than that, well, you know,
removing it. It's not like you want to put around the nose. Yeah, so nothing goes in. You're gonna take it off. It's not on there for very long. So I think there's always options.
Yes, there is. Yeah. I think, and we're also, this is like as if you didn't even know the person, right? If you have a client and you know their history, you've worked with their skin, I think you have an easier time making those decisions. If you know, I don't know, it's what triggers them and then you know their stress and that's one of the triggers, because usually a flare-up is a trigger that's happening, something they ate, their lifestyle, their products, what they're not using, sunscreen, you know, things like that. And they've been outside. They went on a vacation to the sun. You know, there's a lot of factors. So if you know your client, then you know what you should be doing and what you shouldn't be doing, if you wish. So we're maybe talking about, okay, someone comes in for the first time, they've done the consultation, the forms are done, and then you determine when they show up and you go, you have what I think is inside my head, rosacea. Mm. But then you can start talking to your client about, does it run in the family? You know, like maybe there's things that you can figure out. It's like, oh, yeah, my mom has it, and my grandma and my aunt. It's like, oh, do you tend to take that side of the family genetically? You know, like, so you could start going, okay, you know what? It's okay. We can still proceed, but we always start out gentle anyways. So that's a lead in you can say, so that you're not telling them, no, we can't do this peel for you, because you're still going to adjust, like you said, like you know, less is more, and you need to build up. What we used to do with chemical peels 15, 20 years ago, for that matter, oh God, I'm aging myself even longer. Everyone was looking for that snaky skin, right? That peel off, and then it worked. Mm-hmm. But if people are using products like they are today, their cleanser has, you know, I don't know, an AHA or BHA in it. Their night cream does, their mask does, their day cream, like they have it in their products. So I'm not sure what we're trying to slough off into looking like snake skin when they're keeping up with skincare and they're doing their exfoliation. So I think people forget about that. Like, yeah, some people are going to peel like a snake, or maybe a tiny little section of areas, you know, like the chin, that can happen. But that whole concept of what I remember when retinol first came out and the doctors were doing it, and they had to hide at home for a week. And the pictures were, well, first it looked painful as that was just peeling off and the redness. So I think we forget that, you know, science has, we've learned more. We've learned how to do things in a way that our skin can handle without having those adverse effects. So I think we just need to educate our clients a little bit more on that and let them know you're still gonna get the benefits of what the chemical peel does, you know, not just surface level. It's not just an exfoliation, right? In some cases it is, I get that, but what's the goal? Is the goal to slough the skin and get it to peel? Is that, but then I would ask why? Mm-hmm. Why are you looking for that?
Yeah, not peeling from a chemical peel is not a bad thing. You don't always peel when you get a chemical peel. And that's okay. That's not like an indication of whether it's worked or not.
Yeah, like, and especially when we are dealing with sensitive skins, sometimes too, people forget that, you know, there's good enzyme peels that are considered a chemical peel. Mm-hmm. You have papaya, pineapple, pumpkin, like there's some other ones that you could use that, you know, they still have AHAs in them. They still have beneficial ingredients in them as well that help the skin. Mm-hmm. But I think we as a society and as professionals think chemical peels are your classic BHAs and AHAs, right? Your Jesners, your TCAs, as you said. So how do we do this without having the adverse effects to the skin? Like, you know, a comment that we just heard the other day was that, why not noticing any differences from that, you know, peel that I had done? I'm not getting any extra absorption into my skin. I didn't see this person. It was just the comment. So my thoughts were, oh, that's interesting. What else are they doing to their skin that their products are not absorbing anymore? So are you overdoing things that it's fighting back now? And these are under the surface where it's a guessing game. Like you said, it's a puzzle. Each person's different. Normally when you have a chemical peel of some sort, if it's done at the right stage or the right length or the right product, I guess, or ingredients, your skin feels good. And when you put a mask on, your skin feels great. And you have that, the glow that you're looking for, if you wish, or the purge of the skin, this, whatever the goal may be. But I think we forget that, especially for sensitive skins we're talking here, you need to be mindful because it doesn't take much for it to become that opposite and fight back. So you get the redness, inflammation. There's like this barrier that pops up without you seeing it that fights everything that's happening. And sometimes it's the sebaceous glands, you know, you're not necessarily going to be super oily, but you know, they're, that's what's keeping the balance of the lipid barrier. So if you've taken that away and you're jeopardizing the barrier, your oil glands are going to do its job typically, right? Mm-hmm. Not all the time. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a scientist, but typically those are the reactions to try to hold what's there. And yeah. I think that's something that we need to remember of, you know, the benefits of it without the irritation, especially for sensitive skin. You still want a brightening, but why do we have to feel that you need to feel the peel? That's another one. Well, I didn't feel much. You know, it's like microneedling. Like if you keep doing it, your body gets adjusted to it, if you wish. You start to, what's the word I'm looking, adapt to it, I think? You're used to it.
Tolerance
changes, right? And your skin is adapting. It's smart. Mm-hmm. Your body's intelligent. It's going to adapt to this. So maybe your first time you did a 30 glycolic, you felt it. And next time you did it, you didn't feel it. It doesn't mean something went wrong.
Yeah. But I think for sensitive skin, though, I feel like they're going to feel it more if you have that reactive skin.
Right. It should, I think visually you're going to see
it more.
Yeah. And, you know, the client might have a high pain threshold and not realize, like, you know, that they think, oh, well, why isn't this killing me? Like, it should be awful and really irritating me. Not necessarily.
Right.
You know, there's people that use niacinamide and they can't even handle that. But, you know, and then you have someone that has a 30 glycolic, like I said, and they don't feel anything. It doesn't make it wrong. I just think we need to do more educating on our clients and knowing what to expect with it.
I think that's a big one, is tempering expectations. Mm-hmm. If you're doing chemical peel services, but you haven't received a lot of chemical peels, I would say to get some more, like being able to explain the feeling and doing, of course, everybody's going to experience it differently to a certain degree. Like you said, there's that tolerance, whatever skin condition you have, you might not have sensitive skin, so you might not be able to relate, but you can give them kind of a range of what it could feel like. But something else you said earlier that kind of stuck with me or made me think that when it comes to clients with sensitive skin, this is what I heard you say, try other things before you resort to your chemical peel, that there are other ways to, you know, do that exfoliation, whatever the goal is, because that's depending on the client. How else can you get there that isn't necessarily that classic peel? So maybe creating a cleanser with some glycolic in it, in their facial, or sending them home with products that might have that, and just kind of seeing. So I think when I think about it, it's a similar process, just slowed down even more to kind of get a better understanding of your client's skin with this particular type of whichever you're using, whether it's glycolic, salicylic, or lactic, like just getting them to understand, how is it reacting to this? Maybe it didn't like the glycolic, but then you try lactic and it likes it better. So you have to figure that out too.
And something we didn't discuss too is when we talk about the classic chemical peel is, well, you have to prep them before they come see you too.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think that's an important thing that we need to help explain to our clients. if you want the classic, then I need you to start here. So it's like a series of treatments, and here's a treatment protocol plan that we can adjust as we go, but here's what I need you to do at home. And because you're sensitive, we're going to start here, right? And then, you know, as you progress, you'll have to look and see. So like if they have rosacea, for example, and you're in a series with them, you're not seeing them every week, but you have to make sure that you're explaining to them, if you have a flare up, inflammation, a little bit of redness, any irritation, like, you have to let me know. So you should be following up with your clients if you feel that they're, or they were diagnosed with rosacea, or they have that sensitive skin. I think either way, I follow up with my clients, no matter what their skin type and conditions are and goals, I still do it. But especially with this, because you have to, you can't assume that they know this, and they're not, and don't assume that because you told them they'll remember. So I think those are things like, you know, any inflammation, flare-ups. And again, like I said, with rosacea, there's triggers, lifestyle, right? The foods they eat, products they use, stress is huge. Stress, they think, they're saying, is one probably the most common reason for the flare-ups now. Well, we know stress causes inflammation in our body, so it only makes sense that it would affect the skin too, right? Yeah. But I think too that they got to look at microscopically, there's probably going to be tiny little broken skin, even potentially. They can't see it, but that's the tingle sometimes, right? So, or some will even have like the little pustule almost, and they'll think they'll want to use it on there. And you shouldn't be putting anything on those areas. What else can I say? What medications are they using? What currently do they have? Because a lot of times they're like a topical steroid. So we're not doing chemical peels.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. 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 That's part of your intake, right? Just understanding what kind of medication they're on. I think with you talking about that, you know, having them to go home and use some products to prep their skin for the peel, I usually always kind of default to that, like at least 2 weeks before. But I think with somebody with sensitive skin, I might take it a little longer and get them to use the products a little bit more gradually. Because if there's like a cleanser with whatever salicylic or glycolic in it, maybe they don't use that every day for the first week, but every other day for the first week. And then they would gradually start using it every day, just kind of getting them to ease into it. So the prep might be a little longer just to see how their skin reacts. And like you said, like following up once a week, just saying, okay, so you used it every other day. How was that? Then you decide, okay, next week I'll start using it every day, and then I'll touch base with you midweek. So there's a lot more contact, I think, that's necessary.
Definitely. And another thing that I remember doing with some clients coming back to me is that I actually had like a month calendar and wrote down exactly what they had to do and when they had to do it. Mm-hmm. And then as okay, treatment number two, and we'd start the day. Okay, now what are we going to do? And then follow up and saying, you know, there, it's not just them coming in and having a treatment with you, right? There's a lot more to this. And if you're not, you know, I would advise you, if you're not ready to do that full amount of work with them, you may not want to be offering chemical peels at that level, because there's things that can go wrong, and it's going to fall on you, even though your client, you told them what to do. But I think it's better when you show them. So in this day and age, I would be screenshotting it and sending that to them via email, some sort of way, to paper trail, that you advise them on how to do this.
Yeah.
So things don't go wrong. And even on there, put avoid any other products. If you're looking at purchasing, please contact me. I really need to know what the ingredients are on there. I'm not saying don't do it, but please let me know before you buy it. Mm-hmm. So they're not buying from you, but you're still going to take care of them. And they're not gonna hide it from you either. They'll be telling you, oh, I saw this online, I really love it, it looks good. Then you look and you go, oh no, but you know, you have to be mindful. Could you wait till our treatments are done?
Yeah. Because I would be like more explaining of why too, right? Like
that's right. Yeah. It's not getting mad that they're buying online and not buying from you, I think is a big part of it, right?
For sure.
But yeah, I think we kind of covered it all, but I definitely look at the milder side and look at building up. And if there's certain areas, you said it already, you avoid certain areas. It doesn't mean you can't do some other spots, on the skin to help, right? But I think, yeah, when it comes to sensitive skin. And the other thing too is, like we keep saying it, knock it out of the park with sunblock, right? Sunscreen, wear hats, something like, and I always went over the top. Like, I know there's those, what are those called?
The visors.
The visors and stuff. Most people are not going to walk around. There are some that will do it.
Mm-hmm.
Most won't. So literally have one on your shelf and say, well, how serious are you for chemical peels?
Mm-hmm.
Do you do this? So then they know how serious you are.
Yeah.
So if you don't want to wear this all the time, explain to me how you're going to protect your skin when you're out there.
Yeah.
So
that's so true.
Yeah. It makes them see also how much you are really paying attention to the care of their skin when they're not with you.
Absolutely. So I think that, like, in a nutshell, when it comes to sensitive skin and rosacea, the answer isn't no. Yes, you still can. You just got to take more caution and take a slower pace when it comes.
Very slow pace. Yeah.
Yeah.
Love that. Yeah. Awesome.
Amazing. We'll be back with another episode next week. Thanks for listening to Beauty Babble.